The Up and Running Morning Show, 98.1 KZE. I'm Rick. That was Dolly Parton with Shine, the Collective Soul tune. Joining us on the telephone right now is our friend, our neighbor, and a great author, Holly George Warren. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning, Rick. It's so good to be here.
It's great to have you here. I wish you were here in person, but I always feel connected with you since we are literally block neighbors.
I know, right? Well, when the snow melts, I will be over there in person. How's
cool.
that?
Cool. Love it. All right. Well, today is a special day. We're celebrating the birthdays of two very iconic, very powerful female artists. One, Janis Joplin. Her birthday is today. She was born in 1943, and 3 years later, the incredible Dolly Parton was born. And it's amazing how Dolly keeps on generating amazing things, from amusement parks to
to writing a book with me, right?
There you go. Yeah, well, she's done some other really interesting things, like giving a million plus books to kids for reading.
I know.
And so many other incredible things. She's a totally unique, talented woman. And, well, you got to hang with Dolly.
I know. I'm so lucky. And you were talking about Elton John just becoming an EGOT.
Yeah.
And actually, she did this really amazing version of Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me with him for that new Rockstar album, which I have to say, it's a pretty cool version. And, yeah, she's an amazing person to hang out with. She's got incredible energy and warmth, and she puts everything in her into whatever her project is, be it, you know, doing this rock star album or hanging out with me, talking about her fabulous look and costumes and the way she likes to have the big hair and the high heels and all that stuff. You know, so it was such a fun project to get to do this book, which is called Behind the Seams, My Life in Rhinestones. And being a longtime lover of rhinestones, I was just sparkled pink to get to do it with Dolly.
So when you got to hang with Dolly, did you talk about other good things besides rhinestones and her clothing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people think, oh, it's just a costume, but it's really interesting, and if you think about it, the same kind of idea applies to Janis Joplin. Mm. Both of these women came up with a very unique image for themselves, and bizarrely enough, they have all these weird, like, you would never think the two of them have anything in common, although Dolly did cover Me and Bobby McGee, the great Kris Kristofferson song that came out 53 years ago this month, sadly, after Janis passed. But in any case, they both had moms that were really creative who actually sewed their own clothing for them. And so they kind of came up in life having this custom-made outfits, which actually kind of taught them a lot about defining your own identity and your own way of presentation to the world. And, you know, both Dolly and Janis got a lot of flack, believe it or not, for the way they dress and the way they looked. Janis, of course, you know, with her, you know, making this incredible, like, visual statement on stage during the whole Summer of Love period of this amazing part of San Francisco, you know, rock times, when she was wearing all these cool things made out of thrift shop, you know, vintage velvets and lace and all this kind of stuff. And at the time, looking really different than the other kind of, you know, girl singer types. And then same thing with Dolly. When she moved to Nashville at age 18, the day after she graduated high school, she grew up in rural East Tennessee in the Appalachian Mountains, she already had this idea of how she wanted to look. And beginning with her first record deal, Fred Foster, her guy, the guy who signed her to Monument Records, was like, Dolly, you got to tone it down. You know, you just, people aren't going to take you serious the way you look. And she's like, hey, this is how I want to look, and this is what I'm going to be, and screw you. But she said in a very nice way.
Yeah. Well, celebrating individuality is something that both Janis and Dolly did really well.
Yes, both with their vocal styles and with the way they look. And also just sending that message to be yourself and how, you know, your presentation can empower you and give you that strength of character to, you know, both of them came along through the boys club of both rock and roll and country. So they had to be strong to persevere through a lot of crap.
Yeah,
Dolly
being part of the Porter Wagner show was
the
girl singer. You know, so she, well, had a lot of weight to carry and was also not Porter Wagner. So,
Yeah. But luckily for Porter Wagner, that's how I first discovered Dolly, because my mom, when I was growing up in North Carolina, my mom was from Appalachia, and she loved country music, even though I like rock and roll, Mom. But she would you know, put on the Porter Wagner show on TV, and that's how I first laid eyes on Miss Dolly Parton, which was a sight to behold, and what an amazing voice. I mean, from the beginning, I just have always loved her. Beautiful soprano, kind of Appalachian soulful sound. It's amazing.
So let me ask you this. When she did these bluegrass albums, do you think she was wearing flannel shirts like the rest of the dudes, or was she, like, flashy?
Well, actually, my husband Robert Warren and I had the very good fortune of getting to see her in a tiny little club in New York City called Joe's Pub to kind of introduce her return to her roots and her bluegrass sound. And no, she did not wear flannel. She was wearing her typical, like, gorgeous, form-fitting outfits that show, which it was amazing to us that she's got those long fingernails, but she can finger-pick and play all, you know, she was playing guitar, of course. I can't remember if she played banjo during that show, but I know she does play banjo as well, and we were like, how does she do that? And I did get to ask her that question when we hung out for the book project. So
what's the answer? Are they acrylic?
Yeah. She's always, as soon as fake nails were possible, she started out wearing porcelain nails before acrylics were invented. So, but she said she's able to bend her fingers so that the pad at the end of her fingertips is able to make the contact with the guitar, with the strings on the instrument, so that, and the nails just kind of stay out of the way. And then she also uses a lot of open tunings as well.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, what an iconic voice. And she has been in my ears on the radio for years and years and years. It's amazing, her career. And to put out a rock and roll album at her age and get the support of all the guests on the album, it's a really cool thing.
I know. And the way she kind of dollyizes these songs that are, you know, she did a lot of iconic songs in addition to, I think she wrote 9 new songs for the album. It's 30 tracks. She doesn't do anything kind of, you know, just dialing it in. She puts everything into these projects. And just even to hear her version of Let It Be with Paul and Ringo, and then Mick Fleetwood and Peter Frampton are on it. But she turns it almost into this spiritual.
Yeah,
it's just very, very moving. And even, you know, another classic, you know, Stairway to Heaven, which she actually did a bluegrass version of, which I'm really fond of.
Yeah.
But she did the more traditional rock version, and she was really worried about hitting some of these high notes, but she's like, hey, wait a minute, you know, Robert Plant and I we're pretty close in age, and if he can hit the notes, I'm going to hit them too. So she did. I mean, she's really amazing what she can do.
It is. And now the Janis book that you wrote. Well, first, how many weeks on the New York Times bestseller is the Dolly book?
Well, I'm very pleased to say that the book came out in October, and it stayed on the New York Times bestseller list throughout the entire 2023 from when it came out in mid-October. It started out at number 4, and it stayed on the top, you know, the bestseller list of the New York Times for the whole time, so I think it ended up being on there for 11 months. I mean, sorry, 11 weeks. 11 months. I could only dream.
Yeah.
But it stayed on there for 11 weeks, which is a career high for me.
Yeah.
I haven't been on there since my Michael Lang co-write The Road to Woodstock back in 2009. Although I will say, my Janis Joplin book that came out in 2019, Janis, Her Life and Music, that was a bestseller, not on the New York Times bestseller list, but it holds the record for the year 2019 of being the best-selling book of the fabulous Golden Notebook bookshop in Woodstock, New York, for the entire year of 2019. So I'm very proud of that fact.
Yay. That's good. We appreciate that.
And I have to tell you, speaking of bookstores,
yeah,
the independent bookstores in our area are just incredible. I mean, you guys are really close to Oblong, which is another of my favorite books, and they have been proudly displaying the Dolly Parton book behind the scenes. And actually tonight, to celebrate all those people born on January 19th, I was born in October, Dolly Parton, Janis Joplin, Edgar Allan Poe, Patricia Highsmith, and our own wonderful poet, Gretchen Primack, there is a little cool bookshop in High Falls, New York, called Blue Heron Books, and tonight at 5:30, we're going to be having a whole celebration of Dolly, Janis, Gretchen, etc., with readings and music, and it's going to be really fun.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Well, Holly, when you did the Janis book, how did you do all the research? Who did you get to talk to? Did you talk to Janis's family? Like, who did you connect with?
Yeah, very fortunately for me, I was able to enlist the family into participating in the book, into opening up the family archives.
Wow.
Janis was an amazing letter writer, and so I got to read all the correspondence that existed that I could find. A lot of it the family had, but I found some other sources. And, you know, the copyright of letters belongs to the letter writer. Mm. So that would, of course, be Janis, and now her estate, her brother and sister, who still, thank goodness, are with us. So they gave me permission to quote from anything that I wanted to that Janis owned the copyright to. So that was a huge help in writing the book. And also, fortunately, I got to interview a lot of musicians, including, thank goodness, the wonderful Peter Albin, the bass player of Big Brother and the Holding Company, and Dave Getz, the drummer, who we just got to hear doing that great drum solo in Roadblock. They're both with us. They're out in Northern California. I spent a lot of time with them, and they just had these amazing stories and memories. You know, lots of other people. She was such a crucial part of that scene in San Francisco, and, a lot of different players who were on double bills with her, who hung out with her, everyone from, like, say, Elvin Bishop to even Mick Fleetwood. Speaking of Mick, when Fleetwood Mac first came to America, way before the Buckingham Nicks days, when they were more of a blues band, they were on a double bill with Big Brother and the Holding Company. I think it was at the Matrix in San Francisco. So the thing about Janis was she was such a force of nature. Anyone who saw her or played on a bill with her or, of course, played in a band with her had incredibly vivid memories because she just made such an impression on people. Brad Campbell, her amazing bass player, who sadly we lost a couple of years ago, I was able to bring him in to our area back to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. There was this whole really cool event that I put on at the Emerson with different people who participated. And I had interviewed Brad for my Janis biography, and he, after Janis's death, he was so devastated because he had played with her both in the Cosmic Blues Band and in the Full Tilt Boogie Band. He was so devastated, he left New York, went back to Canada, started driving a school bus, never did music again.
Wow.
But he carried with him these incredible memories, and he came here to our area and was on a panel that I put together discussing, you know, Woodstock, and just told these great Janis stories. So that was a really huge help for me, getting to interview so many people that could remember all these details about Janis.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, like watching the ball and chain version at the Monterey Pop Festival and seeing like Mama Cass and everyone sitting down on the field with their jaw down by their knee.
Exactly. And I got to interview D.A. Pennebaker, who made the documentary, thank goodness. It's where we now get to see that amazing footage of Big Brother at, you know, Monterey. And that was really Janice's big breakthrough. Before, she was just kind of a member of the band, you know. And then after that performance, she really, you know, rose to stardom. And soon after, they moved from a small label mainstream to Columbia. Clive Davis signed them, and, you know, we got the Cheap Thrills album after that, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, that was a crucial performance.
Well, Holly, what is the best way to pick up these books? Now, of course, I would suggest folks to Oblong Books and independent bookstores, but can you get it and read it online as well?
Yeah, actually, both of the books have different versions in addition to the actual object, which I do recommend getting. And you can get, you know, Janice is still available. It's in paperback now. And, of course, Dolly just came out, so it's brand spanking new and hot pink. So you want to hold these books if you can. But they both are available as audiobooks. And I have to say, both audiobook versions are amazing. And different from, you know, the Dolly book is different from the print version in that there's some Dolly music on there. You get to hear me reading some of the text, and then you get to hear Dolly telling stories. You get to hear some audio of her, like, TV show from the 80s, et cetera. It's a very cool audio book. And then the Janice book is, you know, also available as an audio book. And then they're both available as e-books as well. So, hey. Whatever your jam is, we got you covered.
Who reads the Janice book?
What?
Who reads the Janice?
You know what? Hold on. Robert, what is the woman, the incredible actor who reads the Janice book?
We're going right to the source here.
Yes. Oh, my God. What's her name?
Yeah,
she's
hold
in
on.
Well, I could tell you that in the Nicole Kidman, she's this amazing actor who is fantastic. I have this weird block. I can never remember her name. But she's been in tons of TV shows and movies. And, in fact, that really cool biopic about Lucille Ball.
Oh, cool.
She starred in that with Nicole Kidman. She's amazing. And I will tell you, what's her name? Nina Arianda.
Okay.
Got it? Nina Arianda.
Well, thank you.
Oh, never. You threw me a loop there, Rick. My brain is kind of working, but I've only had two cups of coffee. If I only had the third, I'm sure I would have remembered her name.
And big thanks to...
She does a great job, though. She does a really great job on the Janice book.
Well, big thanks to Robert Burke Warren.
Yes.
Being your assistant and coming up with the information right on the spot.
Yes, thank
we appreciate
gosh.
That. Yeah. Well, Holly, I could probably talk to you forever, and
I
it's
know.
Always
we
a pleasure.
We got to have a coffee quad.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to do this. So please check in with us again soon. But because of time and it's short, I gotta keep moving.
Okay,
so thank
Rick,
you.
Well, happy Dolly and Janice Day, and thank you so much for letting me come on your cool show to celebrate these amazing women.
Well, thanks for taking the opportunity out of your busy schedule to do so. And another incredibly talented woman celebrating very incredibly talented women. Holly George Warren, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
See you later.
All the best.
Bye.
Bye. This is the Up and Running Morning Show, 98.1 KZE. Our guest again, Holly George Warren. Buy the book. Get it now. Behind the Seams, My Life in Rhinestone. Dolly Parton. So check that out. Buy it, own it, give it as a gift. Makes a great coffee table looking book. It's beautiful and bold, and her outfits are stunning and sparkly. Be right back with more. It's 9:30 KZE.